Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished storyteller and coach from Singapore, Mr. Koen Tan. Koen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh, for having me on the show.
Thank you. Koen is, in his own words, a magnetic attraction coach. He's a business storyteller. He's the founder of Ministry of Influence, which is a strategic business storyteller. He coaches business leaders to inspire and lead through magnetic stories. And he's the host of a podcast titled The Wholehearted Podcast. So Koen, before we get into storytelling and coaching, tell me a little bit about your own journey in brief.
So my own journey is that I have been bullied in school. I've also experienced, violence as a child. So I have always, grew up having this, anxious attachment style. So I have always been very big about, creating psychological safety for people around. So that's why I when I facilitate workshops, when I conduct my coaching, I always provide a psychologically safe space for people to speak up. And as a result of that, right, I find that a lot of people, whether is it being in my workshops, whether is it on my travels, or people I just meet for the first time, right, they will just open themselves up to me and share their stories with me. And that's the reason how I got into storytelling coaching. So in brief, that's the background.
Amazing. Well, thank you for sharing your inner thoughts. Koen, what is the meaning of what you call magnetic attraction coach?
Right. So magnetic, right? It's about how do you attract people to you by just being your authentic self, right? Every one of us have a certain, soul print. More than just our fingerprint, more than just our heart print, but we have a soul print. The way we show up, there's a certain energy that we carry with us. And I think that a lot of people, as they become leaders in today's world, they need to attract talents. They need to inspire talents, and they need to retain their most talented people. However, a lot of leadership training is all based on, very much on the left hemisphere, the left brain, right? A lot of like, what should I be doing? What should I be saying? But there's not a lot that's connected to themselves, right? I believe that every single leader, their background stories, where they came from, their soul print, has a way of influencing the way they show up. And by extension, they will attract certain people towards them in a certain way. And I think leaders need to be more connected to that. And that's what I help leaders to do.
Well said. So tell me now a little bit about Ministry of Influence. Tell me a little bit about this venture.
Right. So I started Ministry of Influence back in 2011. When I was in the final year of university, I attended a program that really, really inspired me a lot. It really changed my life. Before that, I was a very a person of very low self-esteem. And I've also, suffered from depression for many years, right? I've been in and out of counseling. I've been seeking therapy. I've been seeking help from the Institute of Mental Health in Singapore for years. But it was attending that particular program that really, really helped me to find my purpose in life. And for me, I always wanted to become a speaker. I wanted to become a trainer. I want to be able to share my knowledge, my wisdom, and to help people to be the best version of themselves. So right after I graduated, while my friends were off to high-paying banking jobs, I decided to cut my teeth in the learning and development industry. Okay. So I started working in R&D, then I started working as a curriculum planner and designer in organizations. And eventually I actually became an in-house trainer. But in 2011, I had the courage to start my own, training company called Ministry of Influence. Just to share a little bit of a cute story, right? I think at the time, Ministry of something is, it's a very, very popular trend in Singapore. There was Ministry of Sound, obviously. Then there was Ministry of Cakes, Ministry of Clothing, Ministry of So I thought, you know, I wanted to be a positive influence in the world, more than just to teach people how to be, you know, attractive and charming. I wanted to help people become people of influence. And so I started the company Ministry of Influence.
Very interesting. So let's now move to your, you know, being a storyteller. Let me start by asking you, what makes a good story?
I think a lot of people think that storytelling is so easy, right? How difficult can it be, right? It's like, if I have a story to share, just share, right? I think there's a lot of, you know, quotes around in social media saying, your story is important, go out and share it. However, when many people start sharing their stories, they, you know, I think they fall into the trap of just going on and on and on telling their stories, because to them, their stories are always the most interesting, right? But they don't realize that the story is not interesting to the audience. The story is only interesting when, number one, there is a problem. What I mean by a problem? A problem is, for example, you know, that you face an obstacle. The main character, the protagonist, faced an obstacle. You know, something went wrong, right? That's when the story begins. Many people don't realize that, right? So when they start telling stories, they just go right into a lot of the preamble, a lot of details that's totally unnecessary. And the audience cannot relate to that. So I think it's important to be able to, you know, straight away understand what is the moment of maximum tension. What is the moment where the problem starts? The story begins the moment the problem starts.
Sure.
And there's a hint of a change. I think many people, when they tell stories, right, they just go on and on. They don't realize that there is that a hint of change. What audiences are intrigued by, are fascinated by, is the potential for change. Because we all have, we all want to change. We all want to change ourselves for the better. And when we listen to a story, we want to hear the characters have a positive change for the better.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I can go on and on, but
I've got lots of questions for you. So tell me, what goes into crafting a good story that will win?
I think when it comes to crafting a story, a lot of people may sometimes also overdo the sharing. What I mean by overdo the sharing is that, you know, there's something called a vulnerability, you know, bypass, meaning to say that, you know, there's over the last 10 to 15 years, there's a lot of, you know, research and a lot of talk around vulnerability, right? Based around the work of Dr. Brené Brown, whom I'm a big fan of. And but I think a lot of people just go on and talk and they thought to themselves, right? I can just be vulnerable and just go out there and share. But I think you do not want to overshare, because there's a very fine line between sharing your vulnerability and a fine line between flooding. So psychologists call this flooding. So when you're flooding, you are taking, for example, an opportunity to speak as a personal therapy session. And when you just go out there and just, you know, flood people with emotions, flood people with your vulnerability, it becomes not a great story. It is important to understand, you know, when you share a story, what is the heroic archetype behind a story that you're on? On another trend, I realized that it's also very concerning to me personally, and is that a lot of people absolutely butcher the, you know, Joseph Campbell's, you know, hero journey story format. I mean, it's easy to understand that every one of us is a hero in our own right, and we have a hero's journey story to share. But what I start to see is a proliferation of, you know, speakers, coaches talking about how they used to, you know, sleep on the basement floor, and today they are living in a penthouse. How they used to be struggling, they were used to be broke and broken, and today they are millionaires, billionaires. And I think there's just so much of this going on that I think the world is becoming very jaded and tired of all of these things. And so what I study is that, Even while everyone is a hero in their own story, everyone has a very different heroic journey. For me, my heroic journey was that of the outcast, because as I said, I was, you know, bullied in school. I was neglected. I was kind of like left alone. Nobody wanted to be my friend. Nobody wanted to play with me. So that is the outcast journey. Right? That journey of mine will resonate with some people, but may not resonate with other people. Some people will just listen to that and go, okay, fine, right? I cannot relate to that at all. So I believe that if you want to craft a great story, it is very, very important to have self-awareness. It's very important to understand the nature, the archetype of your own hero's journey. And then you realize that this kind of story will appeal and relate to certain people and will also repel certain other people. That's why the idea of magnetic storytelling, right? So that's very, very important. Why I say that is because when people tell stories, they just apply a blanket approach to storytelling. They thought that I just want to go out there and share this story. I want to inspire as many people as possible. And then they question themselves, why is it that it is not hitting the right spots? And so there's a lot of self-awareness, a lot of digging, a lot of excavation, a lot of self-acceptance that goes into crafting that story that's authentic to you, that is able to inspire people around.
Fascinating. And, without giving any names, of course, can you give me an example of how you have helped a future leader craft their story?
Right. One particular leader came to me and he said this. He said, he has just signed up for, he's a leader in the sales industry. All right. Mm-hmm. He manages a sales team and he has had a big exodus of salespeople from his team. Mm-hmm. And he's looking to sort of rebuild his own empire, his own sales team and empire. Mm-hmm. So he's looking to attract people. And so just by talking to him, understanding him, I realized that he's got a bit of a very powerful personality. Mm-hmm. He likes to take charge. He has a very, very powerful presence, which can turn away some people, right? Mm-hmm. Which can also be a bit, abrasive to some people. Mm-hmm. And so he was feeling very bad about himself. He's saying that, Cohen, I think I'm just too abrasive of a leader. Mm-hmm. I don't think people want to stay with me. I needed to soften myself.
Mm-hmm.
And after listening to his story, interviewing him, unpacking his story, mm-hmm. I realized that he don't really have a problem with being abrasive at all.
Mm-hmm.
His so-called abrasiveness is actually not a weakness, but a strength.
Mm.
Because who he is he is a person who empowers people. He restores power to people who have felt disempowered. And so understanding that, the soul print of that story, the archetype of that story, I was able to help him to craft a series of 8 short videos. So I actually scripted the video, the video scripts for him, the story scripts for him. Mm. And coached him on how to appear on camera to deliver those videos.
Mm.
And he has successfully created those 8 video series. And those 8 video series are really his personal life story, how he used to struggle and how he has empowered himself.
Mm.
And at the end of those stories was a call to action to people who said, if you ever felt disempowered, you may want to have consider joining me because I will be able to empower you. I'll be able to help you to reclaim the power that you lost so that you are able to live the life of your dreams.
How and amazing.
As a result of that, he's able to rebuild his sales team. But I think more importantly, beyond just the monetary and business and financial gains, he has a lot more self-awareness, self-acceptance, and he's more connected with himself. He starts to see that his so-called abrasiveness is not a weakness, but a strength that he just needed to re-divert his energy to.
What a great example. Thank you. My next question to you is that how important are anecdotes in storytelling?
Absolutely. Anecdotes are usually personal experiences that you have been through.
Yeah.
It's ultra important in storytelling because it is always easy to tell stories, fables. It's easy to tell, the story around the acres of diamond, right? Or the story of the Buddha within, right? The crack statue, right? The golden Buddha within. And so there are a lot of parables and fables that we can share. Those are great, right? I think that there's a place for all of them because in management, inspiring people, in teaching lessons, valuable lessons. But I think that if leaders are unable to tell their own personal stories, it is a wasted opportunity of making a personal connection with people
great.
That you're looking to lead. Why I say that is because when people want to be led by a leader, they want to know that their leader is a human being too. A human being with human challenges, with human experiences, shortfalls. And so when you are able to see an experience of life that didn't go well and be able to look at it for what it is, harness the lessons from them, accept yourself, heal yourself from them, and be able to openly offer that anecdote as a gift to people, you not only inspire them, you make a personal connection with them. So I think that anecdotes are so powerful. Wonderful. I always encourage.
Thank you for a great response. Cohen, now let's talk a little bit about coaching. What got you interested in coaching, you know, when you're running your own business in learning and development?
I personally benefited from coaching. I personally benefited a lot from coaching. I think coaching really offers that safe space for people to dive deeper beneath the reasons why they do what they do, the hidden motivations. Coaching is kind of like, okay, let me offer an analogy. I have had several meltdowns in my life before. I have lost relationships. I have, hurt people with the things that I say. I have reacted strongly. I've lashed out at situations when things don't go my way. And that was when I was in moments of, lower maturity, a state of lower maturity. And, on the surface, it's easy to just put a label to it and judge and say, hey, this is bad behavior. This is bad. You shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be doing this. But it is like, when, just to use the boring analogy, when aeroplanes go down, when aeroplanes crash, right? Investigators go into investigation mode and they look for something called a black box of the aeroplane. The black box of the aeroplane stores the hidden conversations, the hidden flight data recorder of the plane, so the investigators are able to understand why that plane went down. Right? So it is similar to that. Very often when we judge ourselves for our bad behavior, we tend to feel very down and lousy about ourselves. But coaching peels back the layer, allowing us to go back into that black box and understanding what was the thought process that led to the meltdown. What was I looking for? What was I seeking for that I wasn't getting that caused me to react in a bad way? And now I realize that, when I lashed out, it's not because I'm an angry person. It is because I was acting from a place of fear, right? Or because there was something that I wanted that I couldn't get. Then I'm then able to go back and rewire my triggers, rewire my responses to those triggers, and be able to then make permanent change moving forward. So in future, when situations arise, I'm able to look at it for what it is, suspend my judgment, pause and breathe, and make a more empowered choice. So I personally think that coaching is so deep, and I think the world that we live in today, especially we talk about living in a VUCA world, that a lot of we have so much competing priorities, we are overly stressed, overly stimulated, and now with AI doing copywriting, AI doing graphics design, I think the leaders of today needs even more needs coaching to grapple with all these various challenges so that they can make that mind shift and a heart shift to continue to stay relevant and empowered.
Very interesting. My next question to you is that given your own background, and you've been very kind to share a lot of your own personal journey, how has your own background and your experiences supported your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
There's a few questions inside there. Number one is, let's talk about my values. Because I was often put down when I was younger, I've always had this strong growth mindset. I've always believed that, I don't want to get even, I want to get better. I don't want to get bitter, I want to get better. What I mean by that is I can easily feel anger. I can easily feel bitter about being bullied by people. But I have it has never ever occurred to me that I'm going to do better than these people so I can prove them right. I never want to compete with people. I just want to be a better version of myself on a day-to-day basis. And therefore, I bring a lot of a huge growth mindset to my work. And as a result of that, when I coach my clients, I don't look at them as problems to be fixed. I look at them as beautiful people whose beauty has yet to be unleashed. I think learning appreciative inquiry, being certified in appreciative inquiry, has also helped me. Appreciative inquiry is this approach to change by founded by Professor David Cooper Ryder in the Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. And being certified in appreciative inquiry has really changed my life. So I believe that people are beautiful people to be unleashed. So that's one of my value, growth mindset. My second value is psychological safety, as I said, because of the lack of safety I've experienced, I've always provided safety to people. In terms of my style, I always listen. I listen beyond the point of listening. A lot of times people say active listening, you nod your head, but to me is I listen to what people say. I listen to what people are not saying. I listen to the reasons why they're not saying it. I listen to why they're not saying it because they're afraid of saying it. They're not saying it because they don't know how to say it. They're not even saying it because they don't even know they want to say it. So I listen to all that, and that allows me to then ask the right probing questions at the right time to help my clients to unlock themselves. So that's the kind of style I bring to my coaching. And that's a result that came from my experiences.
Very interesting. So I have time for two more questions. Cohen, my next question is that given the large number of millennials and Gen Z leaders coming into the corporate world, and I think they have brought a breath of fresh air into the companies, into the world of executives and managers and so on. What, in your opinion, are some of the areas these young leaders need to be coached in?
I think the young leaders of today, right, their work, okay, let me just reference the previous generations of leaders. Mm-hmm. Previous generations of leaders are promoted to leadership because of their competence at their job.
Mm-hmm.
The young leaders today cannot just be promoted because of the competence. They are having to face challenges of, you know, if they're competent, let's say if I'm a competent writer, but I cannot be promoted to lead a team of writers when, you know, now AI is doing the job of the writers. And so I think that the young leaders today need the ability to do the three I's. The first I is to internalize. I think a lot of people are very living in the external world. Even on their trains, they're constantly on their phone. They're constantly looking at stuff. So they are very external focused.
Yeah.
They need to have more internal focus when to make sense of the experiences that they had. So they have a bad day at work. They need to be able to reflect to themselves and say, why did I have a bad day? What went wrong? What could I have done better? What triggered me? So this is called internalization. I think they need to have the ability to internalize. The second I is to be able to interpret. I think the world that we live in today is about interpreting information. You, like I said, you don't have to do the research. You don't have to do the writing. AI can do it for you. ChatGPT can do it for you. But the thing is, how do you interpret the information? Interpret that information through the lenses of your own wisdom, through the lenses of your own story, to add your own internal element to it. And of course, the final one is after they have internalized, they have interpreted, now they need to integrate. What do I mean integrate? Means to say the world that we live in today is about integrating inputs from different sources, integrate resources from different sources, and so that you can create something, an output that is greater than its whole. And I think that the leaders of today needs to be great integrators. And of course, the word integrate comes from the word integer, which means to make whole. And I think that if you can put two things together and make it whole, the whole is bigger than the sum of its parts. That is the mark of a great leader. So I personally think that the leaders today needs these three I.
Wonderful. Cohen, we now run out of time. So I just want to say thank you for sharing with me. Let me start from the end. Your three I's, which you said are internalize, interpret, and integrate. And then you said if you're able to internalize, interpret, and integrate, and lead it to the making it a whole, which you said is an integer, I think that's an area where a lot of young people would be able to get a lot of fantastic inputs. Thank you so much for sharing your own story. And I'm grateful you have been so honest with me about your own challenges when you were much younger. Thank you for talking to me about Ministry of Influence. Thank you for talking to me about storytelling and a lot of nuances of storytelling, which I've learned from you today. Finally, thank you for speaking to me about coaching, some of your own values and your own style and your philosophies. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.